Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
What's up? This is episode 99.
Agent 99.
Wow. Boys, we're about to move into triple digits. Thank you for those of you who, if anybody has listened to all 99 episodes, you are a
Get a job. I am talking to my dad.
No, you're a blessing in our lives. We appreciate you.
I know. And I think that surviving our initial sound, you should get a veteran medal.
Yeah, you should get something. We should give like a...
One of the blue ones.
What is there a podcast award? The Webbies? No, that's like Web Awards. Is there a podcast award?
If we put this on the internet, then will we be eligible for that?
What, this is on the internet.
Okay. Boys, the thing with everything really ultimately is on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
did you see that TikTok's getting banned after we said that it should?
I don't think it should anymore. I checked that.
Wait,
back.
I don't think it should either because I can tell that it's actually not a popular opinion, and I want all my opinions to be popular. So take it
fair.
Back.
Well, okay. I, as like a personal user, I don't love TikTok. I don't like it. I don't like how time consuming it can be. I don't like the algorithm. I don't really like the. I don't know. But as like a I agree that I think we would be setting a weird and slippery slope precedent if we ban a foreign company from having like a, I don't know.
I do think
it.
That if my granddaddy bans TikTok, Joe
my
Biden,
granddaddy.
We are not going to elect him.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, you idiot. Why would you? You're already
Grandpapa.
Like siphoning off the youth vote. Everybody, like young people, already hate Joe Biden, and it's like, don't do that. Don't take away their candy.
Don't take away my the only way I know how to do a rear delt press.
But the other thing too, like, okay, so they want them to. They want what is in this bill is that they want ByteDance, the China-based company, to sell TikTok USA basically to somebody else. So I'm like, to who? Amazon, Meta, Microsoft. Like, what other big player?
Is Elon Musk American?
Elon Musk, maybe. Yeah.
He's of us.
Yeah. But if there's an American version of TikTok, it's going to fucking suck. Like, look what happened with Twitter. Elon Musk tanked that. Ruined it.
I have to tell you something.
What?
I cannot get off Twitter because Kate Middleton, so I'm on all day. And Taylor Swift, just like looking for all these white women who do or don't want to be found.
Wait, is Taylor Swift missing as well?
She's kind of just always, what's the word when you're kind of secretive? Well, she did do that. But kind of like that, my away suitcase that I got for free from someone I used to live with, Kristen.
Hey, away, if you want to send us one, send us each an away suitcase.
Yes.
Anybody please. From away listening?
Or Dagny Dover. I don't know what you would do with a Dagny Dover bag. No
I don't
offense.
Know what that is.
It's like a hot girl bag. Like, I can put my Camelback in it.
Okay.
So do you know about Kate Middleton?
I know that she hasn't been seen by the public for a while. And
I've
think
been
she's
feeling really
BBL.
Anxious about it.
Not your problem.
I've been feeling, I just like, we literally are living in this world that is spinning so fast and we can control literally nothing and there are no answers about anything, not even Kate Middleton.
But also like, so we live a 6-hour flight from Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
So even if we would not know it, like it's so easy for us to not know what she's up to.
Yeah, it is like, I just need someone to know one thing.
But somebody does.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's fine. She's like their golden girl.
So now, but when I get on Twitter, no, dude, I'm telling you, I don't think so. Because now
if they ousted one of them and then killed the other, that is crazy.
Yeah, but historically,
the
like,
crown has been crazy.
Have you heard of King Henry?
Yeah, but that was a different time.
Because you saw that musical that I also saw.
I did.
Saw.
Shout out to my mom. We went and saw Six together.
I love, this is not a high art podcast. It's low art. We saw Six.
Six, which I was once described to me as a cruise ship musical because it's so low budget. They can do it on a cruise ship.
That makes actually total sense. Yeah. I mean, they could do that at the brewery that we were at. Like,
yeah,
they could do that on any sort of elevated surface at
they
all.
They could.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a renaissance for a musical, to be honest.
Yeah.
So the easiest forms of art are any form of stand-up or a Sixth musical.
Yeah.
If you're trying to
get
into something.
That's so true.
Okay, but so she like maybe is dead. Honestly, it is super spooky. The Photoshop thing is weird. I do think that it seems like there's maybe she's, I don't think she's dead.
But maybe she's unwell.
If we don't know what happened by the time this episode comes out, I will be so upset. I cannot live like this.
I don't think I want to free you of worrying about Kate Middleton.
But my Twitter's gone really awry.
I can't even go on Twitter anymore. I feel like it's just like every time I go on, I'm learning the worst things.
Wait, so I am too, but I don't know if I've clicked on something, but a lot of my tweets are, it'll be like a picture of the Lindbergh baby, and it's like, Lindbergh baby, moments before taken. And
what?
It's like, and then it's always like, look, literally this. Okay, it's just fascinating. And it says, no, but the account's called Fascinating. And it says, 22-year-old, I just opened the app, by the way. 22-year-old David Bain came, I didn't even read the whole thing, I can just tell where this is headed. David Bain came home after delivering newspapers on the morning of June 20th, 1994, to discover his family members were all shot dead in their Dundonan, New Zealand family house. Examining the crime scene, David became the prime suspect. And then it goes on and on and on. It only shares with me scary things.
You got to get off there.
It only, it's like MSNBC for things that aren't even timely.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I've been on there and it's just like horrible things.
It knows that I want
horrible, horrible things.
That woman whose face was ripped off by a chimpanzee, I see her every day.
Because they get us with fear. Like the fear-based algorithm is like the best way to get us. That's why there are so many alt-right like things on the internet, because like the rabbit hole you fall down easiest is something that makes you scared.
Okay, I will say this about Taylor Swift. At least those people are obsessed with something that is nice and happy and woman.
And take it to an incredibly extreme degree.
They are scary, totally. The humorless people.
Humorless people.
And I say that as a Swiftie.
Yes.
But a humorless people.
Some of the most humorless people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, boys.
I don't even mean her. I think she thinks they're losers.
I don't think she would ever say that. She'd be stupid too.
No, she's a businesswoman. She's a capitalist. They're not going to oust
addressing.
Her.
Yeah. That's true.
Maybe she got a hair transplant, Kate Middleton. That's a couple of months.
Yeah. Okay, should we do our listener questions?
Yes.
All right, boys. We thank you so much for putting in some listener questions. So we're going to go through those. We're so grateful to hear from you guys. We, like, 99 episodes later, we're finally getting to meet the boys.
What I think is so funny is that a couple of them are from college students. And it's like, I don't know who I imagined would send questions, but it's funny that it ended up being college students, because what if it was the other end of that spectrum and it was like, I want to get a divorce and I don't know how to tell people.
We're speaking to the youth. Okay, I'm going to start with the first one, which is Connor a side? And you sent that in, so that was our first question.
Yes, unless someone tells me that's not fake, or if I fall in love and fix myself. I don't know. I think I'm a side.
Our second question is, I don't have a question. I'm just wine drunk right now and I love you guys so much. Thank you to whoever sent that in. We appreciate you.
That's really nice.
And then our last two non-questions are both from former guests of the pod, Maggie Crane and Marley Goddard. Maggie said, no question, but Michael and I were talking about whether or not you look like Paulo Dybala, who is a soccer player. I kind of look like him. We'll put a picture in the show notes. And then Marley said, kiss each other. So
one time we did.
Yeah, we did on the on that one show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to come to the live show.
You got to come to the live show. Okay, this was the most common question we got, which was some variation of our origin story, how we met.
Really?
Yes.
People want to know that?
Like 5 people asked that question.
We met in Borum Hill.
That's a lie.
Isn't that in Borum Hill?
What are you talking? Oh, I guess technically.
That horrible place where the bartender was not crazy.
Nice.
Because you're right.
She was not nice. She was mad at everybody in there. No, so
crazy would be problematic, so I wouldn't say crazy.
We met in the spring of 2021, April of 2021. We met doing stand-up open mics. We were at Eastville Comedy Club at a now-defunct open mic. Shout out to Alex Kim and Divya Gunasekaran.
The origin story for a lot of people.
Yeah. What was it? Firestarters. I almost called it Flamethrowers. That's something else. Firestarters, open mic.
One time Alana Glazer went, but neither of us were there.
Oh, true.
Because we're all out here working.
Everybody's working.
When you call, when you're like, you're an open micer, and it's like, yeah, so is Alana Glazer.
It's not a slur. We met doing stand-up, and we like, I remember the first time I saw you, you were wearing your pink hat.
Oh, it's from my former roommate has a startup called Artswork.
Yeah.
It's like a LinkedIn for artists. And I wanted to support the swag because he went to 2 of my Bringer shows 3 years ago.
Respect.
Yeah. There is a place in heaven for those people.
You have to reciprocate the respect.
Those are the people. Like when I win an Oscar, I'll be like, blah, 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 Steven Spielberg, Nico, my mom, everyone that ever went to a Bringer show.
Literally.
They pay $40.
Those are foundational people to our careers.
They really are. Like they spend, there's a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
The founder of SolidCore went to one.
Wow, and thank you. He is one of our listeners, so thank you.
Hey, she.
What?
She.
Isn't your boss?
No, it was founded by a she, and then a he took over.
Got it.
Not a transition, like a he. She sold the company, and now it's a he's.
And
a
now
he.
Where are they?
She sold it for $88 million and now lives in Miami. And one time went to a bringer show where I told a joke about cum, and
okay.
Which is so gross.
Good for her.
I said cum on stage last week and was like, I actually don't want to do this anymore. It actually doesn't feel who I am.
I feel that. I feel that. But yeah, we met doing mics. We like, I remember that you were so funny off the bat. And after like a couple, we spoke to each other, and then we were at a now, I don't even know.
Did you think I seemed socially anxious?
No. Okay. I thought you seemed cool.
You're kidding.
I mean, you just seemed so like you're in, you're out. You're so funny. And you're just like, you had like, you seemed like you knew what you were doing.
That's so nice.
And like you were like, you always have like, now I know that you're just getting out of there, but I'm like, he's got places to go.
Sometimes people say, I forget who said this to me. They're like, I really like when you, I still mic, I work hard. And they say, I really like that when you go, you kind of like have your professional face on. You're here to work. And it's
yeah.
Like, yeah. Are you guys here to kill time? Were you guys here to hang out?
You guys just didn't have anything to do from 6 to 9?
Shit to do. I'm not here for the community, but
yeah. And then we were at a comedy festival, if you could call it that.
Wait, we have to go back to Firestarters, because the bartender would, I would always get a Diet Coke or no drink at all, but I get a Diet Coke just because you have to support the bar.
Yeah.
But if you tried to pay, if you tried to not open a tab.
No, she wanted you to close out at the end.
She would get a gun.
Yeah.
Like, she would be so mad at
that's
you.
That's why I started bringing cash.
Yeah, that's smart.
I was like, I'm not dealing with this credit card nonsense, because then you're stuck at the bar afterwards, and then you're just like, and that was just like a socially fraught situation with so many people there.
I can't explain this, but that comedy club, while a beautiful place that I did a bringer at one time 3 years ago, I know I was really doing those bringers, but didn't get anything out of any of them, but it reminded me of, what if I just had a mental breakdown? I'm so sorry. I can't believe people listen to this. Okay, but it really reminded me of like in World War One when there was like that underground, that underground subway in London that got flooded.
Oh,
that was the vibe of that.
Yeah, it was like that color green.
It was very much like, this is where people in World War One died in a flood underground.
Yeah. But anyway, we were spending time together at this like sort of bringer comedy festival thing called YasFest,
where there were too many people for chairs in the back, so we were all standing around.
We were, and that's
there
when
were 20 people in that show.
We were like, oh, we should host a show together, and then we started hosting our live show, and then after that, we were like, let's do a podcast, and that's how the podcast started. And now we're also writing partners. We write a lot of scripted stuff together.
But one time we were leaving Greenwich Village Comedy Club, which is a beautiful comedy club. Sorry, and we were leaving, and we were talking about, because remember when you start stand-up, they always say that there's two things you need to do, and one is start a show, and then two, but the starting the show is so you can trade spots with other people, but we never really did that.
Yeah,
we're not
I
engaging
mean,
in that.
I think starting the show, one of the best things that happened to us for starting the show is, one, just having like a consistent thing to do every month, and like having a, it gives you just like a place in the comedy scene, like that you are one of the shows of a lot, but like you do have like, and especially after you do it for a while, it's like people know who you are and start to like, you know of your show, and I think that's helpful. And it also like helped us network with a lot of people, especially right off the bat. Like we were booking people that we were big fans of, and like
Sydney Washington,
shout out Mary Beth Barone, shout out, like people that we really wanted to like meet and also see us perform, so that we could be like, hey, we're funny, you know. And
the way
and
that Sydney Washington even showed up to that was like, these gay people running the show, these little gay kids.
No, she loved.
Just really, we owe it all to Sydney Washington.
We
She's
do.
Very foundational to us.
She is. But yeah. Okay, so I think we answered that question. All right, next one is, how would Nico describe Connor to an alien? Does an alien know what a gay guy is? Does an alien know what a side is? Maybe sides are huge for aliens. I wouldn't even have to explain to you. They would just know.
The alien thing reminds me a lot of when people talk about heaven, and it's like, you actually can't conceptualize it. And you're like, oh, I bet in heaven. No, you can't conceptualize it. I wonder if heaven, if there are no, there are no colors. You can't conceptualize it. So when you say alien, it's like, we actually can't conceptualize
that. We can't conceptualize what an alien is.
Because in Xenon, the Girl of the 21st Century, not to age myself, the alien was kind of just like a big light of energy. And I imagine that's what the alien is.
I kind of imagine that's what aliens are too. Okay. Answered. Nico, what are your three favorite things about Connor? Your sense of humor, you're so good at making people feel like special. I think when you speak to people, they feel really like excited, and I think you ask really good questions, and you really get to know people. And I don't know. You're a great friend. I love spending time with you. I was just saying before we got on the podcast, I've been feeling so depressed recently. But one thing that has made me feel so good is doing the podcast, because we get to hang out and chat, and it always makes me feel better afterwards.
Do I do it back? I should do it back.
No, that wasn't the question. It was nobody wants to know what you think of me.
My three favorite things are, you're a good friend.
Thank you.
You have so much guts.
Thanks.
You have a metaphorical, I keep bringing up guns, but I think they're back. You have like a metaphorical fucking gun in your pocket at all times. You are fearless. You really are. And then my third thing is,
wait, can I amend one of mine?
Yeah.
You're rock hard ass.
Thank you for saying that.
Boys, he almost broke my hand one time because I said flex your butt, and I went to go hit, and it literally almost broke my hand. It is whatever the hardest metal on the periodic table is, that's what his butt is made of.
I want, when people hear side, to be like, what a waste. What a waste.
And they are.
And then my third favorite thing is your sense of justice. You're very justice oriented.
Yeah.
You're very empathetic.
Thank you.
You're very much an ENFJ in that sense.
Thank you.
Scene.
Okay.
Oh, and your sense of humor.
Okay, I love this one. What reality TV show do you think you'd be most successful at? Ask Connor which he thinks Nico would be good at, and vice versa.
The Amazing Race, but we would fight. You'd be really mad at me, but it's okay.
I actually think we'd be good at The Amazing
Race. We would be good, but we would fight. But it's okay.
I think we'd fight like one time. We'd fight like one or two times. But I don't think that much, honestly. We work really well together.
You know that the other people would be like, the fuck are these people? That's what would bond us the hardest, is that we get there and be like, can you believe it? Because you think you're going to be there with hot people. And then you get there,
and
it's like
fathers and sons.
You realize the punishment of being the hot ones is that everyone else is ugly.
They should put that's true. They should put only recently divorced couples on The Amazing Race.
That's funny. That's what they, yeah. Did you watch Deal or No Deal Island?
No. I'm not sure what's happening there. Do you think you'd be good at that one?
No, I can't watch it. I'm going to bring myself to watch that.
I think you'd be great at Survivor, because you've been training for your whole life.
I'm worried I have too much anxiety for Survivor, because in my mind, I'm like, I'd be like, ooh, I'd be in the confessionals, and I'd be nice to everyone, and yeah. I'd be really lead with my heart, and like, I'd get voted off, but I'd be like, it's okay, guys.
But you'd be
a
fan favorite.
I would, and everyone would cry when they vote me off, because they're like, love me, but I'd be such a jury threat. And, yeah. But it'd be like, we can't bring him to the end. But it's like, you can, I don't know how to make fire. I'd be eliminated to Final Four. And because that's the new game, and the new game you have to make fire. It's stupid. But I do think in reality, I'd get there and be like, are you voting me off? Are you voting me off? Are you voting me off? I'd be so anxious.
You would be absolutely like, no games.
I cried before we went to Thai tea. Like, I just get anxious.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that you cried, but I remember we almost didn't. We didn't almost not.
I had like some sort of attack.
For sure.
And then I think that you'd be good at The Amazing Race. And I think that you, what are the other ones?
I think you would be good at Traitors.
I think anyone would be good.
Yeah,
at
Yeah. That one's kind of weird.
Who to say?
I don't think I'd want to do Fear Factor. I don't think you'd be good at that either. No offense.
We're not doing
Fear
Factor.
But that's not really for us. What other game shows are there? You know what you might be good at? Wheel of Fortune.
Wait, my dad watches that every day.
I actually low-key think I'd be okay at Jeopardy. Especially if I got to do Celebrity Jeopardy.
You can apply to that.
Those questions are so easy.
Yeah.
It's like significantly easier. It's actually insulting how much easier it is than regular Jeopardy.
What also kills me about that is that you want to watch it less, but they're like, no, it's going to be twice as long. There's
so
three
true.
Rounds.
It's so long. It's so long. I think, yeah, I would love to be on Celebrity Jeopardy.
And it's like Padma Lakshmi.
That's so, it is always like, and it's always like the three most disconnected celebrities. It's like Padma Lakshmi, Willem Dafoe, and
one
like,
gay guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, next one. All right, so these are comedy related ones. Networking in comedy, how and when?
I love when. What do you mean? You got to go to an open mic. You got to get up and go.
Yeah.
It won't be fun. People will be mean to you.
Yeah.
You got to go. Remember, most of them, nothing will become of them. That's important to remember.
Well, okay. I think that's great advice, though. I think one of the best things you can do if you are a comedian or wanting to be a comedian or a writer, or even if you don't want to do stand-up, even if you think you want to do, you know, other types of comedy eventually, like, going to open mics is paramount. Like, you have to do it. Because it's where I met all of my friends. It's where I met you. It's where
we all literally went to Eastville Comedy Club.
Literally. Everybody I know I met at an open, like in the comedy scene, I met at a show or an open mic. Like, it's where
Alexa Loftus, we met at Eastville Comedy Club.
Shout out. That's true. That's true. And like, I think I've been hearing this advice a lot recently on like other podcasts and stuff, like writing podcasts. And I think it's something that's really important to remember. It's, I think a lot of people get wrapped up in like the idea of networking with people that are like, you know, like a vertical networking, so to speak, like, you know, networking with people who are like a little bit further ahead in their career. And obviously there's like important times to ask people about like advice or look for a mentor or somebody who can like guide you through, you know, kind of who's been doing it a little bit longer and can see things. But I think the most important networking you can do and the most important connections you can make are people that are at your station, because eventually those are the people that are going to be able to hire you.
I literally thought you that was going to do with is with yourself. The most important networking you can do is
network within yourself. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, don't overthink networking. One of the cool things about comedy is it's pretty casual. Like, it doesn't have to be so forced. And I think like, just like, you know, have a normal conversation with somebody, ask, talk about other things, show your personality, show your, like, what you're interested in. Like, that you can always, like, there's always movies coming out. There's always TV shows on. Like, there's things to talk about that are, like, related, but not, like, so overtly, like, networky. And then, you know, at the end of the conversation, maybe slip in something about, like, hey, would love to grab coffee and talk about this. Or, you know, if you're ever looking to read something, like, I have stuff to send. Just make it casual, you know, whatever.
I told you I sent our 23-year-old colleague that packet on, like, with help writing a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that in 6 years, I'll be like down on my luck. I will be divorced. I will be so sad. And then I'll get the call that turns it all around. And it's going to be from them. And they're going to be like, I wrote a part for you in this pilot that we sold to HBO Max Apple. Like, and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm in.
HBO Max Plus.
HBO Max Plus. Let's go.
Literally. I would, yeah, but I guess most of my advice would be like, try to meet as many people of your similar kind of like, you know, comedy class, so to speak, as you can. Go to as many open mics as you can tolerate. And, you know, even if you don't want to get up and do time, like, go talk to people. I do think it's easier to network if you do. It's like, yeah, it's a good place to make friends. And like, you know, and if it takes a second to work up the, it's a scary thing. If it takes a second to work up the courage, that's totally normal. It's not an easy thing to do.
Oh yeah. I used to go and watch first when I was in Chicago. I would go and I would watch.
Yeah.
And then one day, like a voyeur, and then one day I was like, I'm ready to try this. And I did badly. And
look at you now.
Thank you.
Doing amazing. Okay. Does it feel like stand-up sets are produced out of some grind or force, or always just joy, a mix of both? Do you ever force yourself to perform? If so, why? Love y'all, XX.
That one felt really stressful to read to me.
I was just
like, is it grind? Is it force? Is it anxiety? One time, it always ends up me being like, one time I dated a guy. That was like, I told you this. That was like, when you do stand up so much, is it like anxiety or drive? What's the line between that?
And it's like, not your business to ask that.
But he said it wore mask, which was so hot. The way he said it. I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is both.
I think the answer is both too. I mean, like, it's anything. It's a job. So it's like, there are days where you're like, oh, I'm not in the mood to go do this. Or like, this show is really far away. Or like, you know, you show up to something and there's three people there and you're like, God bless. Those things happen, and that's part of it being a job, and that's part of just, like, the ebb and flow. And I think you come to appreciate the fun ones when you have some bad ones. Like, if they were all fun, I think it wouldn't highlight the fun ones as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I definitely think that I overextend myself sometimes, and I'm trying to be better about, like, listening to myself and not – one of the hardest things I think about, especially where we're at in our careers right now, just being so – early in our careers, it's that, like, it feels really hard to say no to anything.
Yeah.
It feels really, really hard. Even if it's like a bar show that you know is probably going to have two
in Jersey City.
In Jersey City, and the buses are all broken and you're going to have to swim. Like, it's just like, it feels impossible to say no to those things. And even when they don't really pay that much, or like, you don't feel like you might get anything out of it. But yeah, my challenge to myself is always to try to, like, even if it's something I'm not like looking forward to, is to try to like, just it, like, especially the ones I'm like, I'm not really looking forward to this, just to like look at my notebook and be like, what are the most fun jokes for me to tell right now? Like, what have I been having the most fun telling? And that's what I should do tonight, just to make my, because you got to entertain yourself. If you're not having fun, the audience won't have fun.
Yeah, it's about your favorite jokes. That's true.
Yeah, because that, I think that shows, you know, like, I think if you're having a good, if you're bored of yourself and you're not enjoying yourself up there, like, it's really, it's, I think it's obvious, you know.
Yeah. There's also such a high in making people laugh with your little brain.
Definitely.
They become addicted to.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a, I don't know. I think it's both. I think it's a good question, but I think it's both. And I think it's important for everybody to find their boundary with, like, what, and try to keep it as fun as possible. Because I think also, like, getting burned out is a real possibility. And so it's like, you want to make sure that you're, like, doing, you're protecting yourself from burning yourself out. Cause that's like, that would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. All right. Wait, I'm going to switch over to the other really quick. Okay. Somebody said, are we ever going to perform in Chicago?
I hope so. Back there.
Yes, you can. Chicago's a great comedy town.
Did my ex write that?
I hope not.
Say who wrote it?
It doesn't say. No, we don't. These are anonymous. I was just there. I was when I opened for Jonathan Van Ness sometimes, and so I was just there with them. And honestly, the Chicago shows were like the most fun of any of the shows. Like, it's a great comedy town, so I would love to come back.
I think that'd be a wonderful place to raise a family.
Yeah, I think it would be too. It's a beautiful city.
It is. Did you ever read The Great Believers?
No.
Oh, it's about AIDS in Chicago in the 80s, and it's such a beautiful book. It's such a beautiful summertime book.
Okay.
But it ends really sad.
Beautiful summertime story.
First half.
I can imagine. But yes, we would love to come to Chicago. If you want to, I have a mailing list. If you want to get on that, it's on my Instagram. And then when we come to Chicago, you'll be the first to know. But we would
also. And if you DM me, I'll add you to a note card that I keep in the back of my drawer.
Connor does analog, okay? He's got a Rolodex of you guys.
Someone's like, are we ever going to come to Miami? I was like, I'll let you know. Girl, I don't remember you.
Okay. Please come to Singapore. There are many gays here. Singapore, we would love to someday have enough money to come.
Freddie. Didn't Freddie grow up there?
Yes, right?
Freddie's parents work in hotels.
True.
And they grew up in Singapore.
Yes, so maybe we can talk to Freddie about
and
this.
And someone I knew in a distant life grew up in Singapore, but I forgot who it was. Actually, all the coolest kids in college went to school, like American school. Whatever. It was called like the American school in Singapore.
Yeah.
They all did. I can't think of a single example.
Like Semester at Sea?
No. They were in high school in Singapore, and they have gobs of money. And then they come to the United States, and they can't get into any schools because they're just, like, rich but dumb. And then they go to Elon.
Yes.
That's the Elon.
That's the Elon effect. Okay. All right. Next one. I'm trying to find the ones about... Okay. Okay. Tell us a story of your first crushes.
Okay. So I was 17. Didn't that late for a crush?
No.
Like, I've obviously had crushes before, but the first time where I was like, I'll give it all up for you.
Yeah.
I was 17, and I was in Rent the Musical. And to get the part, I had to write a note to the director, John Ray, about... I love that you heard it. I can't wait to show you a picture of him. I had to write it. He was really big on writing letters when he wanted a role, so I had to write a letter saying
what
that I...
Under,
I know. My grandmother had died that summer. Earlier in the summer. So I had to write a letter saying that I really understood kind of AIDS and like the trauma because my grandmother just died.
Of
this whole situation. She died of, she kind of just died of general.
Okay.
My dad's whole family just kind of died. Well, his dad died pretty specifically, but like everyone else died kind of generally. Just general.
Sure.
General kidney.
Yeah.
But if you met her, you'd be like, that makes sense. And then so I was like the bookie part, like the filmmaker,
yeah,
the book reader, and then the guy that was the rock star.
I thought you meant like the bookie, like the betting.
My grandfather was that.
Wow.
Yeah, which I think maybe led to all of it. But and then so I was in this musical, Rent, and the guy that was like the rock star, I just loved him so much. He had the most beautiful eyes. And even though he was shorter than I was, he was shorter than 5'5".
Wow.
He's like 5'2". Okay, he was 5'8". He was 5'8". But like that was short at that time.
Yeah.
And he might have been 5'7". And he was so handsome. And I was just like so in love with him. I thought we had such vibes. And I was so obsessed with him. I would do anything to hang out with him. And I posted on my Snapchat story exclusively. That was used to be a thing.
Of course.
Exclusively for him.
Of course.
And then I started drinking. And then I became an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I truly attribute my alcoholism to my absolute unrequited obsession with this man. And now he's married to a woman. And he is like a star in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Damn. I'm sorry to the boys at home. I think we're both about to have depressing first crush stories. My first crush was that I same thing. I'm sure I had crushes earlier, but like don't. Whatever. Was when I was 18, I guess 17 also, actually, beginning of college.
17's hot, and I don't mean like to be, but like in the context
that's
of this.
That's a time when
it's
you're...
It's the Notebook, they were 17.
Yeah, yeah. So I was 17, almost turning, and then 18 when I was a freshman in college, and I met somebody who lived on my Hall freshman year, and I was like obsessed with her. I thought she was like, I don't know, for some reason I was just very taken by her right away. And we were like attached to the hip, like kind of like best friends, but, and I wasn't out yet and I didn't really know this about myself yet, so I was really confused about this, like what this friendship was. And I like on some level knew it was like more than that, but I just would be like, wow, we're like really close, like we're like really good friends, like I just like really love spending time, like not like really not being able to piece it together. And then, you know, people would say things like, oh, you guys are gay and stuff. And that just, like, freaked me out. And so I, like, was feeling...
As nice or as jokey or as what?
No, definitely as a slur, as a mean.
They said that?
Yeah, for sure. People were, like... Well, I mean, to be fair, they were right.
People that you were friends with?
Not necessarily people I was friends with. I mean, so I think my friends were kind of like, what's going on there? And kind of just were like, why are you spending so much time with this girl? And like, I don't know. And then,
that's like Kyle Richards and that Morgan Wade. Everyone's like, what's going on with you and this girl?
Yeah. And then she got a boyfriend and I got really upset by that and I didn't really know why and I didn't know how to express myself. And so I also started drinking a lot that semester and just kind of got really like messy and sad and like was just trying to like do anything for her attention and nothing was working. And then it just kind of like we had a falling out because I was being crazy and she like was like, I'm not dealing with this anymore because I mean I kind of don't, I don't know, whatever, complicated. But
where's
then
she now? Wait, go on, I cut you off.
And then her boyfriend cheated on her and I saw it happen and I was like, fuck you dude, like what the fuck. And then I told her and then she didn't believe me, she chose to believe him. Yeah, it's brutal. And then he was like,
you waited 99 episodes to bring this up.
I know. And then he like totally bullied me and was like, if you say anything, like I will tell everybody that you're a lesbian, like all this stuff. And like I was like, okay, I guess I will just shut my mouth then. And then she never talked to me again.
Okay, do you know your joke about your origin story?
Yeah.
Going from a lesbian to a straight guy.
Yeah.
I need you to send that clip to them and be like, told them, went viral. Told them that it went viral. Just heads up.
Yeah.
Wait. I hate these people. I want to go to their house.
I know. They suck. Yeah.
Can you tell me everything about them and then can we look them up on LinkedIn?
Yeah, we'll cut this. I know. Isn't that devastating?
Oh my God. This is like a James Joyce short story, coming of age story that you read senior year of high school.
I was so devastated. But that was my first crush.
No, I wanted to spend the rest of the episode talking about this, not to further depress you. Those people, what makes me so sad,
yeah,
and what I would say is different in our stories is that I wasn't really wronged in mine. I was kind of wronged by God and myself and everyone that was supposed to teach me to drink normal. Just kidding. That was my fault. But you were like actually wronged. Those people, you were so kind to that girl based on the story I just heard, and she treated you horribly.
Yeah.
And I hope that sometime there's a reckoning with that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, like, if she'd ever... This is also where it gets complicated now for me, is, like, well, I think there was so much going on, because I was, like, I wasn't out, and I didn't know that, really. I was, like, I was so denying it about myself. But also, I wasn't wrong. Like, I'm not a lesbian, so I wasn't wrong that that was incorrect. Like, I was wrong that I didn't, like, I was interested in her. But, like, I don't know, there's been a couple times that I've had these, like, unrequited crushes on women who are, like, I'm straight. And so, like, there's this other layer to it now where it's like, well, I've always been a man, and I just, like, could not express that. But, like, you vibed with me because you knew that there was something in me that you were vibing with. You were, like, vibing with the masculine parts of me.
God gave you literally such a riddle. To his toughest heroes, he gives his hardest challenges.
I know. I'm, like, weaving in and out of these, like, yeah.
The crossword puzzle that he's saying you. My God.
I know. I got an extra hard Sudoku.
Mine was just kind of like, there's, like, four by four. It's, like, farm, cow. It's, like, you're a cis gay guy. Good luck. It's pretty obvious.
Mine is, like, onomatopoeia.
Wow, I hate those fucking people.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean,
and he's just somewhere kind of, like, working at Lincoln Financial or something.
No, I think I don't even know what the fuck he's doing. That's the other thing. It's, like... All these people who have wronged me, I wouldn't trade places with them for the world. I'm doing fine. You know, like I'm on the up and up. I'm okay. But it's like, it is, I feel for my younger self who like was really struggling with that. And like, I wish in hindsight that I had more I don't know. College is so hard because you have, like, a lot of resources at your avail, but you also, like, it's, like, I don't know. It's really hard to know that you're supposed to go look for them and you're supposed to ask for help. And I really could ask for help then, I think. And I, like, I was in therapy.
How are you supposed to know that?
I was in therapy for a little while because I did have a little bit of a drinking problem my freshman year. Like, I was, like, really, like, I was just getting fucked up to, like, cry, basically. And, like, I was, like, then so I ended up going to a therapist through our, like, athletic department. And she was kind of, like, so why are you so sad that this friendship is ending? And I was like, I don't know. We're just, like, really good friends. And she was like, but why do you think you're so sad about this? And I was like, I don't know. We're just, like, really good friends. Like, she was, like, trying to get me to say it, and I was just, like, not there yet.
We both had women try to tell us that, like, who we were. Because I had Gail post Gail. Be like, I think you're starving yourself because you're gay. And I was like, that's funny because I'm bisexual.
Or am I gay because I'm starving myself?
I gave her a riddle. And she said, I'm at the back half of my career. I don't really need this.
Yeah. Well, I apologize to the person who wrote in this beautiful question. Tell us your first crushes! Exclamation point. I'm really sorry we did not give you an exclamation answer.
Do you want to hear my second one? No.
Okay, wait, let's keep it moving.
I'll think about that for the rest of the day.
Okay, wait, let's do, there's some more. Okay, what's your favorite thing about being queer people?
I think that we discuss a lot that there's not a roadmap. Mm-hmm. And it, as scary as the world is sometimes, I'm really glad that we wake up every day and the possibilities do really feel endless.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my grandfather, who's dead, not by his own hand, the other one, he used to take us at his house upstairs. There was like this office that... And he used to take all the grandkids in there, and there was a yoga mat that I guess is my grandmom's, and he would lie it on the floor, and it was called the possibilities room. And then he would, he had like this candy dish. The story doesn't end weird, by the way. He has this like,
yeah, I know, I'm getting anxious over here.
Everyone kept their hands to themselves, but he had a candy dish, and he'd pretend they'd be like, he'd pretend there was like a frog in it. And it was always ultimately chocolate. But the whole idea was that it was like, possibilities are endless, which is so gay.
That's sweet.
And now I'm gay, but also live a life where I do feel that their possibilities are endless.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Yeah. I think for me, my favorite thing about being a queer person is the community. I think that like, it's like kind of a chicken or the egg thing, I guess. It's like, do I feel better about my community because I'm queer, or is the queer community better than like straight community? But if I was straight, would I like, you know what I'm saying? But I think the community is huge. And I think that like, I always found, and obviously this maybe is related to my transness too, but like I always found the sort of like gender barrier between men and women in straight communities to just be kind of like difficult and fraught and hard to deal with. And I think a lot of straight people probably feel that way on men and women. So I just feel cool that and obviously there's plenty of straight people who have like multi-gender friendships and communities and stuff. But in my experience, especially like in college and in high school and stuff, there was like, it was like the boys hung out over here and the girls hung out over here. And I always found that really like stressful and odd. And so I like now that like our friendships or circles are made up of like a lot of different kind of people. And it's like way more diverse and more interesting.
You know what I just remembered? You know who was nice to me in middle school? I think I can say this. The non-white girls. That's how we were divided.
Yeah.
It would be like white girls, non-white girls, white boys, non-white boys. But the boys were more mixed. I think the girls were more divided by race than the girls were more divided by race than the boys were. And the white girls were so catty and weird.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, there was like, not all of them, but like they were the ones who would be like, look at your hands. And the way that you look at your nails, whether you're gay. Whereas, like, the non-white girls were just, like, so nice to me.
Yeah.
Because they were already, like, I guess they were not, it was, like, this mostly white school.
Yeah. So they already were feeling that sort of outsiderness that you probably were feeling, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I feel like being queer also just, and to that point, I think just has, like, opened my eyes up to a lot more about just, like, the way the world works. And, like, it's given me so much more empathy, I think.
You have to question the norm so early because you yourself go against it.
Yeah. And you like, yeah, totally. I agree. Okay, next one. If you could swap dicks for a day, would you? This person needs to listen closer to this podcast.
This is the person that wanted a brand.
Yeah, this is the person who wanted to give us a brand that was helping with erectile dysfunction. Would you
swap dicks for a day?
I don't need to know that about you, I don't think.
Yeah, you don't have to. No, I feel fine.
Yeah, I like what I'm working with. All right, next one. Okay. How to be a confident trans guy. I'm just starting T and I'm having a hard time coming out to people in my life. I feel like every time I come out to someone, I need to deep dive in my gender and sexuality to justify it to them. I know I shouldn't feel like this, but it's difficult not to feel the burden in certain situations. Well, thank you for writing in. I appreciate this earnest question. Connor, you want to start? No, I'm just kidding. It's hard. It's so hard. And I feel for you, whoever wrote this in. It's hard, especially early on. Like, I mean, I'm still pretty early, relatively speaking, in my journey with my medical transition. But especially the first year, I used to have this joke where I would feel like I would, whenever I would come out to people and, like, say that I'm trans or, like, a man, you know, they would act like I just said I'm a giraffe. Like, that's how crazy it felt to say sometimes, and how I felt people were looking at me like, you know, you're crazy. Like, you just said you're a giraffe. Like, that's how crazy the thing you just said is. So I totally feel for you. It does feel crazy. You do, and I felt constantly, like, gaslit by myself and by the way people reacted to that or even things people said. So, like, it is like a patient transition is a patient person's game. It is a long, long, long road, and it's a lot of, you know, just kind of like staying the course through the uncomfortable parts and the parts that feel not great and the parts that are, like, super uncomfortable. And it's like, it sucks because it's so public. You can't, like, unless we could just, like, go away for a year and come back, like, looking a little different, it's, like, really hard to avoid those kind of encounters. But I would just say, like, the best you can, you know, if you have, I think one of the things that's helped me the most is, like, some of my trans guy friends, I think, have really helped me to feel, because I love them and I see them and I just, like, I'm like, you're amazing. And it helps me to, like, love myself better because I can, like, love them so much. And, like, seeing that lived out side of my own body is, like, really helpful. So, and I know not everybody has access to, like, trans community because it's not, you know, New York is a place where you can, like, really access that and you can be out loud about it. And, like, that's unfortunately not the way the world is everywhere. But to the extent that you can, even if it's, like, online or other people, like, I think seeing other people, like, live that out and being like, yeah, like, that's right. And that's awesome. And, like, that's beautiful and strong and masculine, I think, is, like, really helpful. And, you know, it will get better. I know that's, like, a lame, like, PSA about gay people, but, like, it's true. Like, it does get better. And especially as a trans guy, like, the longer you stay on T, the more you start to pass, the better it kind of feels in those respects. You know, like, passing is, like, it's not everybody's goal and it's not everybody's thing, but if in terms of just, like, wanting to feel more, like, validated and by, like, the average person, like, it definitely helps. And I also totally recommend, if it's something you're into, like, I think working out, like, lifting weights has helped me a lot because, you know, if I can feel, like, physically stronger and feel like my muscles are popping a bit more, that helps me to feel more masculine. I also think, like, finding the clothes that work for you, finding the haircut that works for you, like, all those things, it's, like, really important, I think, to, you know, give yourself whatever you need to, like, feel the best that you can in these situations. But overall, I would say be patient, and I'm sure you look amazing, and you're a man, and that's what matters, and we're here for you, and I hope that was helpful, and I didn't just ramble for several minutes.
That reminded me of what I showed the hair cutter last time I got my hair cut. Are you going to be mad?
No. Was it me?
I want to find the exact picture. But you can't be mad. No one's allowed to be mad.
Okay, nobody's allowed to be mad.
And I need to make this fast.
My hair does look good in that.
And then that's not what I got at all.
It's like, you look great.
Yeah, it was not what I got. I was like, this is what I asked for. Not what I got.
Okay, it's a picture of me. I do look good, no doubt.
I just loved the little bangs. Not what I got.
Okay. Okay, thank you again for that question. All right, next one. Okay, this is the advice section. I guess that was kind of advice too, but this is continuing the advice section. My college roommate is weird. I'm in my first year. What do I do? Only 8 weeks left, but I don't know if I can survive.
Did my ex-roommate send this? Because as I told you the other day, my roommate moved out freshman year. But in my defense, to move in with his twin, I feel like that is...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But there was so much shame attached.
No, it wasn't you.
Well, it was partially me, probably. I did, like, literally, I went to the hospital, like, 6 weeks into school because I hit my head, and he drove me because I refused an ambulance.
If he's leaving you as a roommate because of that incident, relax.
Yeah.
He needs to relax. No, I'm sure it had more to do with his twin. Okay.
Well, it's more like a running to than a running from situation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we don't know much about the situation, I will say. your roommate is weird. That could mean so many things.
What if you're? What if they're just gay?
I hope our listener would not be upset about a gay roommate. Otherwise, I don't really know why you like this podcast.
Are they introverted?
Yeah, we don't know enough about...
We've both been called... You've maybe never... I've for sure been called weird.
I've definitely been called weird. Are you kidding
me? We've been called weird. Called weird.
But maybe their roommate is weird. I don't know. I would say, you know...
We're going to have to take your word for it.
Let's take their word for it. Let's give this listener the benefit of the doubt. They're one of the boys. They've got to be on the right.
So now I'm kind of like picturing a weird person.
So I would say if they are not fun to be around, you know, can you limit how much time you're spending? It sucks because like obviously like... I want you to feel safe and comfortable in your room, but, you know, maybe if you can limit amount of time you're spending in there and, like, try to, like, especially now that it's about to be nice out at most places, like, you know, enjoy the outdoors, enjoy... I feel like the end of the spring semester in college is always super fun, so, like, enjoy all the fun stuff and try to, like, not just hang out so much in your room.
Get a lover.
I'm sure the winter was tough. You know, you gotta be in your room a lot more because it's, like, so cold out.
I think that to live... When I get married, I do want separate bedrooms.
Wow, hot take.
I know that's crazy, but I just think that it's super important that you're able to be alone all the time. It's hard to be with a person in the same exact room constantly.
Yeah, what if you had a... Oh.
I'm not expecting anything.
What if you had a separate office?
Like a day bed?
Sure.
That does sound nice.
Just somewhere you... I hear you. Like, it's nice to have your own space, but, like, I think... Right now, the way that we use our rooms is, like, so different than we would if we had, like, a bigger home.
I love this room. I'm not having my room right now. It's very sad. And in the winter, it was fine because everyone was sad and the whole world was sad. But now that it's so beautiful outside my room, it's like, well, why aren't you beautiful?
But you got all this other space.
Yeah. You got to move. This person has to move.
Listen,
you need to move.
You got 8 weeks left, okay? We'll have 8 episodes of Boys Clubs for you.
We're going to give you opposite advice because I'm saying you have to go to the Res Life office.
No. You got 8 weeks left.
You need to accuse them of something.
No. You have 8 weeks left. You can do this. We feel for you, but you're so close.
By this point, someone has absolutely failed out for drugs, and there's a single available. You should go into the single.
Yeah, maybe make a friend who has a single and just be like, hey, can I sleep here every once in a while if you really feel impressed about the whole situation?
So when I was a sophomore in college, junior year, I wanted to live with girls because I'm gay. Mm-hmm. Or just a person. But I wasn't like, it's like I was out, but I wasn't out on paper. So, like, I didn't want, like, you don't know. I don't really believe in lists and stuff. And this was a couple of years ago. So, like, we had to meet. They were going to let us live together. So, like.
He doesn't believe in lists.
We changed the culture. Like, we changed the policy.
Changed the world.
We changed the world. But then this man who ran the gay office, Matthew Antonio Bosch, he became involved. And I was like, why is the gay guy here? Yeah. This isn't a gay thing. I'm not gay.
And he was trying to get you?
He was like facilitating the whole thing. And I was like, I don't understand who included him because I just wanted to live with girls. And then we had to sign this paper, swear to God, this contract that said that we were not going to have sexual relations. And if you, historically, I lost my virginity, male to a man that I was on my
sweet
freshman year.
Where were they then?
They weren't there.
Wow.
Where were you Thanksgiving when we were the first two back? Mm-hmm. And he told me to breathe. And as he finished, and I didn't.
And
where's he now? Engaged. What does he do? Sell houses.
Good for him. Yeah, I remember when I had to fight the athletic department to have a pride game when I was a senior. The DEI guy came, like the diversity, equity, inclusion, like office person, and they so clearly just put some yes man there who was like never gonna say anything.
Didn't even support you.
He was just kind of like, I think that we can reach a resolve here, like a conclusion that everybody's satisfied with. And I was like, bro, they are being homophobic. What is your job but to step in here?
Well, that really reframes Matthew Antonio Bosch. I love him then.
Yeah.
Elon might be a worse school, but you know what? Their gay guy is better.
Well,
they've got a better gay
team. We did have somebody who was the head of the LGBTQ, and she was great. She was great. She and I were on the same page. It was the DEI guy who was like kind of like not really picking a side. And I was like, you are not doing justice to your
job.
You
had a head of gay?
We had like an LGBTQ center and like that. There was somebody who was like the head of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like adamant that you were right?
Yeah, she definitely was.
Was she mad?
Yeah. I mean, because they said some pretty fucked up things. I mean, at one point they were like, this is our fan base is like a lot of children and families. We can't be having this. And she was like, dude, I have children and I have a family. Like, what are you talking about?
God, I love... I don't know
Ron
if
Wellman. Ron Wellman.
Was her...
Athletic department head.
Don't cut that.
He left that year.
Ron, well, I can't wait
Ron
to Google
Wellman,
him.
85. 5,000 years old, huge fucking hands, baseball mitts of hands.
There's no correlation. I bet his wiener was small.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Okay. Next advice question.
Ready? I think that last thing I'll say to that college person, it sounds like what they maybe could do is kind of get more involved on campus. Because it sounds like we both were leading a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I think your roommate does suck, but go maybe lead a charge.
Lead a charge. If you are distracted enough, you won't even remember.
Honey, go collect cans.
Yeah. Go get cans and tabs. Okay. Next advice question. Hi, boys. I adore you both in the pod so much. Thank you for bringing me comfort and a little bit of joy every episode.
So that's my best friend.
Thank you. Okay, my question is for Sober King Connor. I'm wondering what advice you have for those of us who are part of the hot and exclusive boys club that is being college age, raging homosexual, raging alcoholic. It's so shitty to be this young and know that I need to get sober because alcohol is derailing my life. I can't help but feeling robbed and cheated out of the experiences that revolve around alcohol that other people are going to have now that I'll never get to have later. Early in your recovery, or maybe in the pre-contemplation days before you decided to seek recovery, did you feel like you had to mourn a lot of ideas you had of your adult life, particularly social life, would look like? Like, I can't stop dwelling on these things that I've always wanted to do that I won't be able to while drinking, quote, like a normal person.
Okay. Yes, but that's being gay, too. Being gay is mourning ideas of what you thought you were going to have for your life.
True.
And then the ideas end up being better and beautiful. As we said, there are no limits, mm-hmm. and there's possibilities, and you don't have to take your kids to pre-K when you're 28 years old.
Yeah.
You get to have that time. But I do remember when I first got sober that I was like, this sucks, but honestly, all the things, and like, it's hard to realize this in the moment, but it was like, all the things that I'm missing out on are like extremely, I don't know if the word is Western. There's like these things, these rah-rah glory days and stuff, which is easier to say when you're like in the rearview mirror of it all.
Yeah.
But like in the moment, that does suck. But yeah, you kind of have to like part ways with the ways that all the people around you are having fun. But then you remember that if you're sober and you're gay, then you got two kind of cool things going for you, and you're probably gonna have a really beautiful podcast one day.
The future is bright. That's true. You could have a podcast someday.
But I went to AA when I was like 22. No, I went at 19, I guess. I guess the first time I went to AA, it must have been 19 years old. And I remember thinking, this sucks, but these guys are 58 years old and they're still figuring out, and this guy just lost his wife and kids. So I'd rather probably do this now. But actually, that's a lie. I think that now, but in the moment, I thought I got 30 more years of this. So in the moment, I guess in the moment, there's really the only, it's almost like, God, you hope that for some reason I just stay in this hall, even though it's horrible.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. But I mean, I hear you though. I think that like, it's similar to being gay, where, you know, where you come out and you feel really nervous about it and you feel like you don't know what the rest of your life's going to look like. But, you know, there's so much beauty in on the other side of it, I think, no matter what. And I mean, I can't speak from experience, but from you and other sober friends we have, it seems like your life just opens up for you. And I think it really outweighs the cons of not being able to, I would assume. I mean, that's what it seems like from you and others.
Yes, the best part ever, I always think this, is like Tuesday at 2 p.m. or Wednesday at 3, like where it's like a random time in the middle of the day. There's such a calmness. Whereas even when I'm anxious, because I feel like when I was drinking, it was always about when are we drinking next. It was always a forward race to the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, and then you're just like hungover and you're trying to find your phone and apologize to everyone you've ever met the next day. And like, there's never stillness. You don't care about school or SGA, student government. And yeah, I was elected. And you don't care about any of those things. You don't care about the flowers or the sun or 2 p.m. or hanging out after class. Like, none of that. Whereas when the alcohol goes away, everything else kind of like, some, it's almost like the joy from alcohol, that kind of like levels out and like just spreads out throughout the day instead of disappearing.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, college is all about drinking. Like, there, it's such a big part of college, and college life is so much about getting drunk and going to parties, and that's a huge thing. And obviously it is for, you know, adults as well. But I would, you know, in general, even like, I think you'll see like after you graduate, like, You'll find other things that are more, I don't know. It becomes less part of your life, I feel. Like, I feel like it must feel really like, oh, fuck, like, how am I ever going to socialize right now? Because your whole world is, like, is you know, about socializing with alcohol. But, like, I think you'll see as you graduate and you, you know, become, you know, more into, like, your adult life, it's not going to be the same, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I was so lonely in college. I just remember that.
Yeah.
But not in a negative way. But, like, we went to school in North Carolina. Every Saturday, it would be day drink time. So I would walk 3 hours, maybe less than that. But a lot of miles to the Jewel, not Jalisco, the Harris Teeter. I would just take back roads through the woods to the Harris Teeter.
Wow.
And then buy a bunch of groceries. just have something to do. And I would like, I was, if I was Cheryl Strait or something.
Yeah.
And then, so you're kind of always just like killing time. But then, because I didn't know if I like, I didn't know comedy. I didn't have arts. Yeah. I was like, it was such a weird time. But I think, I wonder with sobriety, if there is this like weird thing where you like kind of have to be like, oh, that's not a good answer to this person. But like where there's just like, it's like I was kind of shitty and miserable. And then it just sort of was like, but then it like adjusted. And then that's just who I was on the other side. And then I built a life after that.
Definitely. And I mean, I think it baked into, I mean, it's called recovery for a reason. I think that there is some pain and some mourning and some loss in recovery. And I think one of the things we all experience with any sort of, you know, I definitely am avoidant to feeling hard things and I want to just like move past it and not actually feel the feelings and like feel the and be in the hard part. But like sometimes you got to be in the hard part and that sucks and we feel for you, but it will get better.
Isn't it funny that in group fitness, I never think I should be giving inspirational information, but everyone else feels that they should. And it's like, actually, you, all of you, I'm probably more capable than any of you of telling people that they're limitless.
Yeah, we are limitless.
It's never the instructors that you need to hear it from, that you're looking for life advice from, that are trying to tell you that you can do anything.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for that question. We appreciate it. I hope that answer helped and we're here for you. And, yeah, maybe see if there's,
go to an AA meeting. There's always interesting people and there's sometimes hot people depending on where you are.
True, true. And I think like depending, I mean, also we don't know where you are, listener, but if you're somewhere, I think a lot of bigger cities, maybe even small cities too, have like, you know, younger AA meetings that are supposed to be like tailored to younger people.
I
so
have no doubt that New York AA would be the most, the best thing ever. Well, I bet it would be so cool.
We can, maybe we can plug a friend of ours. Aiden Dunn has a podcast called The Sobercast where he is doing a day. He's been recording a podcast every single day on his journey of being sober. And he talks about wanting to look hot at the AA meetings in LA because he's like, because there's hot people there. So maybe check that podcast out. We can link that in the show notes. Shout out Aiden Dunn, our friend. And that might be, that might feel helpful because he's like a super goofy, silly guy, but he's also in the throes of maybe a similar headspace that you're in. And that might be comforting right now.
Going on a cruise and I don't want to bring that out. Never mind.
Okay.
But there are AA meetings on it.
Are there really?
Yes.
Wow.
So in my head, I'm like, well, that's where I'm going.
Well, that's where you got to go.
Okay, there's wait, there's AA meetings and also meetings for women. Wait, you'll love this. There's AA meetings. There's like hangouts for women. But I want to know if it's like friends of women too. And then, because I would love that, but I don't want to co-opt a space. And then the most importantly, dads and fathers to be. But like literally.
Fathers to be.
Not daddies, like dads.
Dads. Like
I want to hang out with dads.
Actual dads.
Yeah.
That's so funny. All right, let's see if we have any. Okay. What were you like in middle school? And do you think the two of you would have been friends? I think we would have.
I don't think I knew anyone like you in middle school.
Babe, you've never known anybody like me.
In middle school, who I was at? I was hot. Depends, 6th or 7th grade. Very different answer.
Okay, geez Louise. Either way, you were a child.
6th grade, I was so chaotic. My uncle has a story of like picking kids up from school, and he just heard my voice from a distant window. Because I shouted out the window, goodbye, cruel world. And then the teacher screams, Connor, stop screaming out the window. Like, there was always something going on.
You're 11 or 12.
Yeah. And I was, like, writing a Gilmore Girls spec script. And I had a girlfriend who went to school for theater.
Oh,
theater
my.
Arts.
I love how gay you were and people were just like, he's straight.
I got in trouble in 6th grade for spraying Axe body spray. I'll never forget. My teacher was like, David has asthma. And I was in so much trouble.
For spraying Axe body spray?
Because apparently if you have asthma, it's like a one and done. It can just take it
with
out.
Axe body spray?
That's what they'd said.
Oh, my God. I think she just didn't want to smell it.
I don't know. I thought it smelled so nice.
You sprayed it on yourself?
It was Dark Temptation. Like chocolate.
Oh, my God. Did you spray it on yourself?
Yeah.
Chocolate Axe. That was a big thing. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
In middle school, I also was kind of undergoing a transformation in middle school. That was it's tough for everybody. That's such a hard time. But 6th grade, I was still, like, had short hair, was, like, hanging with the guys and stuff, and then, like, was sort of kind of fading out of that. By 8th grade, I was, like, growing my hair out.
Your school was K through 12.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was, like, really into, I don't know. I think we would have been friends because I think I like would have been, I was super, that was when I think I was starting to like develop a bit of a sense of humor and was like getting really into like comedy stuff, like really into SNL at that time. And like Mean Girls was everything to me. I'm trying to remember when Bridesmaids came out, because once that came out, that was also huge, but that might have been later. But I think we would have been, friends.
See, I think I loved comedy, but I couldn't have told you that I loved comedy, but I loved all the shows that were funny that starred a woman.
See, I didn't like phrase it like that. Like, I love comedy. Yeah. I just like loved those things, and it's all I wanted to, like School of Rock. It's like all I wanted to talk about.
Gilmore
so I think
Girls,
we would have really
so important to me.
We would have really bonded over that.
Veronica Mars.
And I think at that age you're also starting to like develop a more sophisticated sense of humor.
Yeah.
And just like the way that you're like because you're becoming a little bit more adult. And so I think I was like really drawn to other people that loved to like joke around and be funny, and I think we would have like definitely hit it off.
Between sixth and seventh grade, I got, I'll say it, hot.
No.
My dad, the night before seventh grade started, he was like, Connor, just like heads up, you look really different and people might treat you differently. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Is that bad? Is he canceled? Should we cancel
him? He's not canceled. I think he was giving you an honest.
Cancel his ass.
I think a real.
He's like,
happens,
you look gorgeous.
I think a real thing that happens to a lot of kids is that you get like you like. I mean, you, how many kids came back after like seventh grade and they like shot up super tall or like
at least one.
You know, so like I think that happens a lot. That like, yeah. And I'm sure like you maybe don't realize that as a kid, but your parent is like fine to be like, yeah, you know, like you know, just prepare yourself for that.
In seventh grade, I recorded a rap video at recess.
Oh, no.
Sorry to anyone who's offended. George Bush's
hey,
America.
Gay guys can rap too.
And I remember the rap. It was. Turn off all the it actually was low-key Aaron Carter's song, but I didn't know that at the time, but it was like, it's kind of Aaron's party.
Sure.
Turn off all the lights. Turn on the noise. DJ, turn on the sound. Bring on the toys. First song, we will sing. Second song, we play. Third song, we dance. Fourth song, we partay. Hey, turn off all. I wrote that.
Wow.
It sounded great.
Okay.
And then I recorded
He's going to EGOT.
I haven't done that in years. I apparently had it the whole time.
Wow.
And we recorded a video, and then my teacher, like Mr. Fogarty, I think like he had some sort of problem where he was up and down. And then, so one day he was like, you're going to get put on house arrest for putting a video you recorded online, or at school online. And then I was like so anxious about house arrest, which I knew all about because there was
a teacher said that to you.
Bob Fogarty.
That is so fucked up.
Guess what subject? Religion.
Classic.
Religion, yeah. I know.
That's
and I was
so crazy to say something so damning like that to a child who's then just going to internalize that and be like, well, fuck.
Bro, house arrest was like a big thing when I was a kid.
It was. It was. Are people in house arrest anymore?
Everyone was getting
put Everybody
on house
was
arrest.
On house arrest when we were kids.
Everyone was wearing an anklet.
Right? That like, was big.
It was definitely big. Like, my big memory was that, like, female teachers were having sex with kids and then getting put on house arrest.
Oh, Christ.
It happened at least one time. That girl named Amber or something. Gorgeous.
May, December. Oh, Jesus.
But different one. You're thinking there's two couple.
Okay. Wait, what are we looking at on time? Okay, a minute four or hour four. That's great. Okay. All right. We have one last question, and I think it's a good one. It says, why is this podcast being slept on? Good question, listener.
I don't know. There's a couple different options. Yeah. I think queer phobia.
Totally.
I think we don't do video. Is that the answer?
Maybe. I mean, that's kind of a half joke that this is a slept on podcast because we do have plenty of boys who wrote in questions. We're so appreciative of you guys. But, you know, get the word out. Tell people about it. If you guys love this podcast, spread the word. You know, repost.
We wouldn't, this wouldn't make sense as like a live format. Like, we don't have a live format. Like, obviously, we could work on that. But, like, I don't think, like, I'm sitting, like, we can't sit like this in public. Like, we sit weird.
You guys, we're upside down right now.
We literally sit so crazy. Like, I feel like these people come on, the guests, and they're just like, why is Connor sitting like a daisy?
I don't think they say that at all.
Daisy boy.
No.
But. I don't know. I guess like, we don't have... Maybe we could find something like that.
We could do a live show. I mean, we do our live show. If you come to our live show, it's stand-up. It's not like a podcast, but...
We talk about boys' clubs for like 3 minutes, and yeah. And then we do stand-up.
But we could do the pod, I guess. I mean, it's... we do... One thing that's always funny to me about live podcasts is it's such a funny medium because it's like... A stand-up show, it's like, it's guaranteeing you that there will be, like, punchlines and laughs and stuff like that. But, like, a podcast, it's like, sometimes we're doing bits and stuff, but, like, sometimes we're, like,
I think it would be
giving really earnest
I know,
responses.
I think it would be giving book tour.
It would be
like,
giving book tour.
Like, people would come and they think it would be funny, and then be like, well, who's your first crush? And it'd be like, wow.
Well, you don't want to hear it.
And then it would turn so fast into, like, book tour of, like a woman that survived a horrible situation in another country. And it's just like, oh, my God, what a sad story this was. Sorry I asked.
It's like the cover's beautiful, but this is what's inside is dark.
And every time we do it, we talk about a different crush. I have crushes for days.
Yeah, I could tell you some more sob stories if you want them.
One of my other crushes just got veneers. and told me that racism wasn't real.
Well, okay.
And I was like, crazy that perspective is so different when beautiful that we have different perspectives. No.
Racism isn't real.
He was crazy. He was so crazy.
What a weird thing to say.
He was a fucking moron. He was a mess, but his parents really didn't love him. And I think that was hard. I think it's hard when your parents don't love you.
Oh, that's
it's
tough.
Hard to overcome.
It's really hard to overcome. It's really hard to overcome.
If you're out there and your parents don't love you, the deck is stacked against you, but that doesn't mean it was stacked against us.
It doesn't,
in different ways.
It doesn't mean that somebody won't.
It doesn't mean that someone else won't love you.
Yeah.
Sometimes family, I tell my family all the time, I say, you know, you guys are my chosen family. I don't have to be here in this group chat.
That's
Connor's family.
Connor's family. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Okay. I think that's all the questions we have. Were there any others that I missed?
No one ever answers me. And then today I was like, funny that no one answers me. And then my brother was like, I was in court. And it's like, well, I'm being audited. So I don't think why you think you're special. Freak.
He was in court.
Yes.
Wait. Something was happening. Somebody, the DOJ is looking into something big.
I'll figure out what information I can get.
We can get any. Okay. Okay. So, boys, thank you for listening. Thank you for your questions. We'll do this again. The 100th episode is going to come out next week, so stay tuned for that.
Is this the 100th?
This is the 99th.
Oh, I'm stupid. I'm sorry.
You're not stupid.
No, oh my God.
So, the 100th episode is coming out. Come see us live. This will be out after. So what, we'll have an April Boys Club show. Oh, I am doing, I think this will come out the week before. I'm doing an hour on April 5th at Union Hall. Please come. Tickets are going fast, so they say. So Connor said that's incredible. So if you want to get a ticket to that, let's jump on that. If you live in Los Angeles, please come see me at the Elysian on May 11th. If you live in Pittsburgh, I'm coming on May 3rd. Tickets for all that will be out shortly. Come to our live show, rate and review the podcast.
If something horrible happened to Kate Middleton, this episode might age really bad. This will be like that one time where they did a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode about a school shooter, and then Columbine happened.
Oh.
So they had to cancel the episode and move it back a season.
Christ.
They literally had already recorded it and everything.
Well, thankfully, Kate's really not our problem. She's not even American. She couldn't be less of your problem.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, boys, thank you for the questions. We hope that we answered you. And sorry if we didn't have time to get your question. We will save those for the next time. And please, we'll keep that link live. If you want to ask more questions, we'll put it on our link tree, and you can ask questions and on a rolling basis, and then we'll answer them next time we do questions. Does that sound good?
That sounds good. And
all
we can't wait to see what fruit you guys make with these answers. That college student, I can't wait to see what initiative you start on your campus.
Yes. And anybody who wrote in, we love you. We thank you for your time
and attention.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, Conor. Janda is Panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, NicoCarney. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.